This week, Federal News Radio introduces a new feature, a special biweekly report on the specific personnel issues in the Defense Department by our own Scott Mossioni. Scott joins me in studio now with this week's topics, including how the sexual harassment issue is reaching into the intelligence community. And Scott, before we get to that, though, let's start with a more mundane topic. Mobile phones in the Pentagon. What is going on there?
Well, you might be able to use your mobile phone in more exciting areas, let's say, because the DoD CIO is now trying to make cell phones more ubiquitous in secured areas. So they think that this might help with productivity. It might help with people being able to communicate better.
And
I know, right? So I ended up talking with Therese Furman, who's the deputy CIO, and she gave me a little insight as to what this directive exactly does.
This directive is a new directive on setting out the conditions for using mobile devices in secure spaces, something that we haven't had before. And we really want to be able to allow people to work differently so they can work seamlessly between office, home, teleworking out in the field. And this sets the conditions to allow us to do that securely.
So they must see some advantage in opening up this use.
Of course, yeah, and they can see that this is going to be taking them into the future, right? I mean, they need to harness a lot of different types of data and a lot of different types of communication outlets, and this is the way to do it. You know, I mean, this is the 21st century. And I, you know, Therese Furman, the deputy CIO, she kind of laid out a few of the options on why this is really important to do right now.
It will definitely improve the productivity because what it will allow for is for the users to be able to access kind of enterprise information from their phones or their tablets or their laptops when they're remote and when they're in their office environment. So there's a huge productivity advantage to doing that. And again, you can also download applications that you're comfortable with and that you know help you be more productive and efficient. I think the commercial technology has matured enough now that they can meet the security requirements that we have. And we make sure that the infrastructure that they're connected to is secure. And so all of the components of that go through this National Information Assurance Program process, the NIAP process, to get evaluated for security. The same with the devices. They've all gone through the NIAP process, the program, so that they're all confirmed that they meet our security requirements. And I think the technology now is able to do that, where in the past probably it was not so ubiquitous. So that's one of the big drivers behind it.
All right. So that's Therese Furman, the deputy CIO of DOD. And I guess it's good to see them get with the program of mobile devices in secure areas. Does that mean all those little banks of teeny weeny lockers that you find at some of the defense agencies will go away because people can bring cell phones in?
Not necessarily. So SCIFs, these secure
environments. You and I can't bring them in.
Right. Those are still going to be very, very private and secretive. But, you know, some of these secure areas, it's going to be left up to the person in charge of that secure area if they believe that the mobile phone should come in. And it has to be mission-centric. It has to be for that mission, and they have to actually explain why it's important to have these mobile phones in there. So it's not just willy-nilly bring in your phone and start texting whoever you want. This is government-issued phones that are going to be going in for the purpose of doing work.
So vendors, you got to still leave them in the car before you go visit on some
of your... Well, yeah, some contractors can bring them in. It all depends. You know, it depends on the importance of the mission, right? That's what it is.
All right. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Mossioni, and let's get to the more serious topic, or maybe the more difficult topic, I should say, and that is sexual harassment, and that issue is coming into the intelligence community. What's going on there?
Right. Well, I mean, there's definitely a revolution going on right now, as you've seen in Hollywood and, you know, pretty much every sector of the private and public side of the world. So about 223 women signed onto a letter this past week saying that, you know, they are members of the IC community that have dealt with sexual harassment, that understand that there are issues from leadership, from, you know, coworkers, everything like that. And not only are they being part of that, you know, hashtag MeToo community, but they're also putting out a few comprehensive sets of solutions on as to how this can be changed within the IC community. Some of those things include the leadership expressing once and for all that these behaviors need to stop, creating private channels to create areas for women to report abuse, and also exit interviews for women so that when they leave the government, they can feel a safe space in order to say, look, this is where I felt uncomfortable. This is where, you know, the power dynamic is maybe not in my favor.
And of these 223, do we know what specific IC components that might be concentrating in?
Well, you know, it really runs the gambit, and there's a lot of it, former ambassadors, colonels. I mean, these are not, you know, low-level people, not that it matters, right? But
if you're a colonel, there's a bunch of generals higher than you that can exert that kind of undue influence.
Exactly. And I mean, even if you are a general, there's always that sort of dynamic of, you know, the old boys club kind of feel. So, you know, these women are coming out, and I think they feel emboldened by a lot of the things that are going on now, and can finally get maybe the workplace that they feel they deserve.
Well, also, I think a big issue for many agencies is if someone comes forward with a complaint of sexual harassment or even worse, sexual abuse, then they have to understand or feel that they will be heard in a way that doesn't result in retaliation against them for blowing the whistle, if you will, on their own sense of harassment or abuse.
Yeah, and women do comprise 15% of all active duty military, so they are not an insignificant chunk at all of the military. This is a very big issue, and it's only going to get bigger for them as DOD brings in more talented women to expand their ranks.
All right, and also, Scott, I wanted to ask you about readiness, because this came up with the top enlisted personnel who have been talking to the press about this issue this week. What's going on that front?
Well, you know, Congress has always been ringing this bell that readiness is the big issue, that everyone needs to pay attention, that the United States is failing when it comes to keeping its readiness up. But, you know, when you ask the top service personnel, enlisted personnel, they're saying, well, maybe not so much. You know, we can still fly our planes. We can do everything we need. Yes, there's crashes going on, but we're in an era of unprecedented safety still. And so when it comes to budget season, that might come to nip them in the butt. But, you know, I think it's better that they're being honest with the public. And maybe Congress is bringing this up a little bit so that they can get a little more money in their NDAA or their appropriations bill.
Well, my mind, which I guess filters out this kind of thing, is perhaps they are saying this because it serves the administration, serves the brass in power now. There have been flying exercises in conjunction with South Korea that are modeling what it might take to have an airstrike on North Korea.
Right.
And so with this heightened awareness, maybe they need to feel like they can have to convince the public that, yeah, we're okay with this. We're ready to go to war. I don't think anybody wants that or hopes for that I've spoken to. But on the other hand, you can't signal to the enemy anything but that you are absolutely ready. So I wonder if there's a little bit of that going on.
I mean, it's certainly a fine line between posturing and, putting out enough immediacy that you need to more money for readiness. But I think what they were kind of explaining a little more was all these crashes. The Navy had multiple collisions over the summer with ships.
There's been lost aircraft.
Right, a lot of aircraft that have gone down. But, you know, when you look out through history, this really isn't an unprecedented type thing. And basically what they said is there's always some kind of crisis we have to deal with, so we're just going to deal with it.
Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out his new notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.